The Rush Hour. The Rush Hour. On Cold 92.5.
Great to be here wherever I am. I always love it when I'm here. But I've never been here before. It's great to be back. I've been on the road doing comedy now for 10 years, so bear with me while I plaster on a fake smile and plow through this one more time.
Heyo, everybody. What is happening? Luke Bradnam with you. Thanks for joining us on the catch up. Very honored to have the great Courtney Hancock joining us as my co-host this afternoon on the show. Hello, Courtney.
Yay. Thank you.
It's been a lot of fun, even though it's Scheisenhausen and weather outside.
It is, isn't it? It's like, it looks like the middle of the night.
Yeah, it is. It's so dark out there. Hey, you did the Coolangatta Gold on the weekend. I got a little bit of Coolangatta Gold history for you that you might not know, because back in the day, it wasn't that long ago where you girls didn't have to do the full distance that the dudes do.
Yeah.
They wouldn't let you do it.
Yeah, they chopped it.
Which is ridiculous.
Yeah.
And I think it was, I remember Hayley Baidup would get all steamed up about it every year, and rightfully so, because it was like, who's to say that these incredible athletes can't do the distance that the dudes do? It was so sexist, really.
Well, I'm so stoked we're doing it now. I think it's absolutely unreal that that we can show that we can do it. And I just saw on the weekend, it was literally a sprint finish, 4 seconds between first and second.
Yeah. So. And it was only probably 5 years ago that they changed it.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, you're right. Only 5 years ago.
You know, it was only in the 1984 Olympics that they allowed women to run the full marathon.
84, wow.
Look, that's not that long ago, is it?
Yeah.
And before that, they went, nah, chicks are too weak, they won't make it. And you're like, who's the fat hombres making these calls? Like, I bet you they couldn't make a marathon, but the girls could.
The girls only did a half, didn't they?
Yeah, and then 1984 was the first time they did the full marathon in the Olympic Games. But here's a cool piece of Gold Coast history for you with regards to the Coolangatta Gold. So, you know, going back more than 5 years ago, they wouldn't let chicks do it, which was really awful and sexist. And there's a girl, you'll know it, Tiaan Smith from Northcliffe Surf Club.
Yep.
Tiaan Smith,
she's amazing,
is the first girl to ever do the full distance Coolangatta Gold. And here's how she did it. Girls were allowed to do a one leg of a team relay.
Yep.
In the full distance. She entered as a team, but she was the only member in the team. And she did the full distance.
Yep. I remember that. Yes. Yeah, yep, yep.
And isn't incredible. That a great story?
Oh, she's... And I trained with her that year, actually, as well. And, when she said she was doing that, I was like, damn, girl.
How cool is that?
And she's incredible. And she works full time. Like, she has no time. And she somehow fits in and does this training. And she does it out there by herself. If it's a heavy northerly, she'll go straight into it and paddle there and back. She's absolutely incredible.
So yeah.
How good? I know. Good on her.
Oh, I love that story. Yeah. I love that. I just reckon it's such a great kick-ass Gold Coast story. And she's
a boss woman.
Oh, mate. Yeah. She's the best nipper wrangler in the country. She runs the nippers, or she used to, at least down at Northcliffe, and she's mate. She'd keep me in line. She knows it. Oh, she does, mate.
Have you seen her get the barrels on a nipper board? She gets out there with the nippers, paddles the nipper board, which is teeny tiny, and barrels herself.
Does she really?
Yeah, it's awesome. Yeah. She looks like this little nipper.
She's great. All right, hey, coming up on the catch up this afternoon, we'll get into when you've texted the wrong person. Oh, took some great calls on that. Courtney's got a problem with a boyfriend. Get this one. He's too good looking, all right? Courtney's boyfriend's too good looking, and it's causing some dramas. If you live with your ex, we took your calls on that, which is pretty cool. Courtney's been off to the movies to check out The Joker. And also, we look for the best pizza on the Gold Coast. Count down the top five songs in the country. All that and a whole heap more for you on the catch-up, and it's starting for you right now.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast.
Should hear this story that's happening with some people that are pretty close to me, Courtney. I've got to tell you this one.
I'm really interested to hear this one.
Okay, so I sort of teased you a little bit with it off air. So I want to tell you the story on air. So there's a girl, she's around 20, and she's broken up with a boyfriend, and it was her first ever boyfriend, right? She's a Gold Coaster.
That's heartbreaking.
He's
first
a Gold Coaster.
Mate,
they've been going out together since they were 15. So it was a five-year relationship.
High school sweethearts.
And then after that, they separated or broke up for whatever reason. And then the girl has met another guy, right? And a few months later, she meets another guy. And they have a bit of a fling sort of thing.
Yeah.
Anyway, the mother of the girl, because her husband was telling me the story, the mother of the girl sends a message to her daughter because the fling then broke up as well.
Yeah.
So she's had two sort of heartbreaks in a short amount of time. She sends a message, the mother sends a message to her daughter, a loving message about, look, I know that you sort of gave yourself to this guy and this happened and that happened and, you know, you might have slept with this guy, but, you know, this is what happens in life.
Yeah, you live and you learn. Yeah.
She then sends the text message, a big, long text message. She sends it to her daughter. After she sends it to her daughter, she looks at her phone and what she'd forgotten is that she always had her daughter and her ex-boyfriend, the first boyfriend, in a group text message.
Oh, no.
She sent the ex-boyfriend a message about his old girlfriend breaking up with the new guy with gory details.
That is absolutely... That's a way to find out, isn't it?
Oh, it's an awful story. Any way you spin it, it's an awful story. Like, it's an awful story, obviously, for the daughter.
For everyone.
It's an awful story for the mum. But what about the ex-boyfriend sitting at home minding his own business and then copping the whole, you know, the whole drama of what's going on with the new guy?
There's a lot of people involved in that. And that's the thing. It happens all the time. I've had a friend that was supposed to text me about she was dating a guy for a little while and there was just no connection, no chemistry. And she just sent the message to him, straight to him. And he goes, oh, okay, all right, thank you. So I guess, you know, in a positive way, that was a great way for her to be able to tell him. But this is happening, I reckon, every day.
Oh, it's so awful.
Yeah.
It does. Like, I was talking to my girlfriend about it and she had a story. I think everyone's got a story.
Yeah.
In fact, we should open the phones up. If you've got one for us, texting the wrong person, we want to hear from you.
I'd love to hear this.
Oh, yeah. And you know what the funny thing is with these stories, Courtney? You know where they're going before the person arrives.
Yep.
Like, you know, like even when you were telling me your story, I went, oh, she's texting.
Yeah, it's happening. And you can relate to it because you know someone or you've done it or, yeah.
You cringe.
Joanne from Currumbin, we want to hear from you. What's your story?
Well, my daughter went on holiday with her boyfriend and his family away to the Philippines for another family member's wedding. Before they left, her boyfriend asked her father, my husband, if he could marry her, and he said yes. But no one told me because it's a big secret. Lauren had no clue, and so I wasn't told about it. So when I was told about it, after she departed the country to fly to the Philippines, I was very excited. And I was so excited, I started messaging my other daughter.
Oh, no.
About how awesome it's going to be. I can't believe she's going to be engaged when she gets back.
She's got no idea
he's going to propose.
Oh, you...
Anyway, all on family chat.
Oh, no.
No.
Oh.
You ruined it.
Well, I could have.
Oh, you did. No, you can justify it any way you can. You ruined it. Hey, Rob from Southport, that's awful. That's an awful story. What do you got for us, champion? What's your go?
All right. So probably a couple of months ago, me and my wife, we had a pretty good morning, you know, on a Sunday, you know what I mean? You know, kids are out, what have you.
Hang on, I'm not sure. I'm not sure Courtney knows what you mean.
Wait, I'm confused.
Anyway, later on that evening, we're watching TV with my kids, you know, like, they're 19 and 18, so they're not young, but we're watching the show, and I send my wife a sly text. I'm looking through my message, and think, gee, she's a bit far down. So I send her a message, you know, we should a bit more of that later on, you know, in a bit of detail, and next thing my daughter's like, what's that?
Oh, no!
I sent it to both my kids.
That movie Sex Tape with Cameron Diaz. Oh.
You know what, Rob? This is actually weird, but we have actual audio of your daughter receiving that text. Have a listen.
Yes.
God, Sky from Mullandina. Sky, what's your go, Sky?
What have you got for us?
I was just saying that a guy that I was really, really interested in for a long time, we finally got together and then he wrote a song about me, for me, and it was genuinely really nice, the gesture, but it was really corny and kind of embarrassing.
You know where
this is going.
You know where, go on.
And I sent it to my best girlfriend, so I thought, because I was like, how am I supposed to respond to this? Like, this is really kind of gay.
Oh, no.
Screenshot everything, and I sent it to him.
Oh. Because that's what you do. You go straight to your girlfriends, don't you? When you...
The guy's yeah.
And he was just like, why did you send this back to me? And what's with the before message? I was like, there was absolutely no way that I could backtrack it. Digging a hole.
Oh, that's the greatest. Thank you. You're making a certain friend of mine feel a whole lot better. They're not in this hole alone.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast.
Luke, I was listening to the show yesterday and you were talking about what would you want to change about your partner.
Right.
So when just before I was thinking, I was like, oh, what could I change about Nick? And the thing that really came to mind was downside to dating someone hot. He is incredibly attractive.
Your boyfriend?
Yes.
So you guys have been going out together for a few years, right?
Yeah, about 4 years now.
He was a cricketer?
Yeah, he's a cricketer. Absolutely.
He is a good-looking bloke.
Yes.
So
he stands out on the cricket pitch, definitely. Yeah,
And you wish that like he wasn't as good looking as he is.
Okay. The best way to explain it is probably like shallow how. Like I can see him for how he is, and maybe everyone else, like the shallow how, it can be like the opposite.
Right.
So I'm like really selfish, and I just get to appreciate his.
You don't
his
want
appearance.
Anyone else. You don't want anyone else appreciating that he's a good looking bloke.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it could get me into trouble. I think definitely because whenever we go out. Well, even if we're having dinner, just having a few drinks, it actually can be anywhere. Maybe if he's, even the other day, it was he was filling up the car and I went to go and pay and then there's someone chatting to him. It's just everywhere we go. So
what, chicks try and pick him up in front of you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Really?
Yeah. They're really, they're very tactical. A couple of times I've accidentally spilled a drink on him or accidentally bumped in, be like, oh my goodness, I'm so sorry.
And you reckon they're just trying to get a connection with him somehow?
I think so, yeah. They always start off with... oh my God, you're so tall.
Really?
Another one is, oh my God, you look like Aquaman. Are you Jason Momoa? So
does he get that, really?
Yeah. So as soon as I hear those lines, I'm kind of like, okay, where is this going?
Do you find it funny, Courtney, that your boyfriend gets attention from other chicks or do you feel threatened in some way?
Yeah, I think you could go obviously one way or the other and I could be like, oh my God, you know, why are you looking at her like that? All this and that. But I think the best thing I can possibly do is one time actually it was at the Burleigh Pavilion. I went to the bathroom, came back and there was five girls hanging around him.
Really? Is he that good looking, this bloke?
I just ordered myself a pina colada and sat back on the table and just watched.
Did you really?
It was so entertaining. I was laughing and then he's looking at me trying to give me the nudge on like
come over here. Yeah.
And I just cheers to him and
yeah. Hey, you know what? I'd be interested to know, like, if you're very attractive too, Courtney. You're being pretty humble, but like you're saying that he's a really good looking guy, therefore the downside is that other chicks try and hit on him while he's out. I wonder, like, if you're going out with someone who's super hot, is there a downside, like what Courtney's saying, or is it, I'm imagining there's an upside too. Like you're going out with a good looking guy.
Oh yeah, absolutely. The upside definitely takes over the, you know, that little downside. But
we want to hear from you. If you're going out with someone super hot, what are the downsides of going out with a really attractive person?
Please.
I would never have thought of that. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, I think you just have to be, I don't know, you've just got to take it on the chin and be like, damn.
You're lucky. You get it.
You know, and you've just got to laugh and appreciate it.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast.
I was watching a TV show last night on SBS. I mean, I hate to brag, but I'm quite intellectual, Courtney. No, I don't know how. Honestly, there was nothing else for me to watch, and so I find myself on SBS.
I was going to say you should be in The Masked Singer, just listening to you for. Usually I get annoyed with people singing, but...
Yeah?
Yeah.
You reckon I should be on The Masked Singer?
Next year,
They'd want to nuzzle me, chuck something down me so I can't...
I reckon you're all right.
Hey, anyway, it was an interesting show because they had this couple on and I reckon they were late 50s, maybe early 60s, these couple. They'd been married for a million years, but then they had divorced, but now they're back living together.
Wow.
Sleeping in the same bed.
In the same bed.
But they're still divorced and they're still separated. They're doing it purely for financial circumstances and they both have partners as well.
You're
so they both got new partners, but they're sleeping in the same bed. Nothing happens between them. There's no funny business happening between them, but they sleep in the same bed every night. even though they've got a boyfriend and a girlfriend. And wow. Have a listen to them.
You bought a new bed, but you still shared the same bed that was in the family home as well. They were sleeping in that same family bed.
You were still coming back to the family home to sleep in the old marital
that's
bed.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Now, the obvious question is, where did any new partners fit into this arrangement?
Right. They didn't, for a long time.
One of the rules was that any new partners, there was no sleepovers in the family home, and it was quite a while before you and Murray actually even had dinners over there. So, but you could do whatever you wanted to do in the apartment, but just leave it clean when we get back, sort of thing.
How weird is that?
They're still calling it sleepovers. Yes. You're not allowed to have any sleepovers.
Yeah. They're sleepovers. They're 60 years of age. That's what their little term. Do you reckon if you and you live with your boyfriend?
Yes, we live together.
I mean, you guys are rock solid, but say you break up, you wouldn't still live together.
It'd be so weird. That kind of, because you've got to get out of that routine of each other, aren't you? Like, that's a big part about breaking up.
Yeah.
I think, you know, not seeing them every day and not doing the things that you used to do every day with them. And I think you need to have that time apart to be able to heal. Mm. And it sounds like this couple, they're not healing. They're still so used to each other being there. And I don't think it's fair on the new partners that they're... Oh. Imagine that, just being like, oh, okay, so you're still sleeping in the same bed with your ex-husband.
Oh, I couldn't handle it.
I'd be like, is there a pillow between you?
Is there the Great Wall of China between you? There need to be for me to be sweet with it.
Yeah.
I couldn't handle it.
Oh,
like, if my girlfriend was still living with her ex-boyfriend and sleeping in the same bed, see ya. I'm gone. Oh, see ya later.
No way.
You'd
have to be, I don't know.
You'd have to be Gandhi. You'd have to be that evolved. You'd have to be Gandhi in my book. Hey, we've got tickets to the GC 600. We've got a double three-day pass. How cool is that? We want to hear from you. Do you still live with your ex? There's an interesting story. If you still live with your ex, we want to hear from you.
We've got Casey from Coomera, still living with your ex.
Yes, I am. Yeah, a bit of a weird situation, really.
How come? How come you're still with the ex?
So I have a new partner, but I've kind of gone back and forth between living with the new partner and back to my ex. I have a child with my ex.
Right.
And he kind of, you know, struggled a little bit when I wasn't there, so I kept having a bit of guilt feelings knowing that, and yeah, I've moved back in with him three times so far.
How does the new partner feel about you constantly moving back in with your ex?
Oh, not great at all.
Oh,
not
bet.
He's
not happy at all. He kind of, it doesn't fit real well, and it has caused a few dramas and a few insecurities. But, it's kind of, I suppose, my stuff kind of being at the ex's house. I didn't commit to moving my stuff in with the new partner fully. I left some stuff with my ex.
One foot in each camp by the sounds of it. Let's go to Richard from Main Beach. What's your story, Richard?
Yeah, hi, I've got a friend, and he's been divorced for about 10 years now with his ex-wife. They still live together in separate rooms. She has a new boyfriend for the last 3 years, and, their kids don't know that they have new partners. The kids are like, Mum's got a sore back, that's why she's in the spare room.
Really? Mum's hurting her back. I can hear her yelling.
And the new boyfriend, and they've just been overseas together, but they had separate rooms in the hotel.
Wow.
And her boyfriend was okay with that. That she could go with her ex-husband overseas.
Far out.
Good on them for being easygoing.
Hey, Brock from Southport, last word on this, mate. What's your story?
I just got back from Europe with my partner, and towards the end of the trip, it started to fall apart, and got back to the Gold Coast, and we decided, I think it might be time for a split. And the thing is, we're still living together. None of us have any plans to move out at the moment, but it's real awkward because all our mates, all our common friends come over and they're asking both of us about Europe and stuff. And
what about the sleeping situation? Sorry? What about the sleeping situation?
Well, we were sleeping together for a little bit, and then about a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago, we kind of just decided to like split up the beds. I bought like a cheap single bed off Gumtree, and I'm just living in the spare room.
Wow. So he's living with the girl, but there's no rumpy pumpy. It's like they're a married couple now, Courtney.
Yeah, pretty much.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast.
Cheap Tuesday night, date night. Nick and I haven't been out on a date for a long, long time. We decided to go to the movies.
Right.
Love the movies. VMAX, incredible. I went to see The Joker.
Oh.
Big Batman fan. Absolutely love it. So,
hey, I've heard mixed reviews. In fact, just from in here, I think Brixie saw it and said it was a load of rubbish, and Jeremy saw it and said it was really good. What did you think?
Look, I did have a few nightmares that night, I have to say. Definitely.
Right.
Yeah, I can see why. I think you had to kind of be in the right kind of mood
right.
to watch it. It wasn't a feel-good movie.
No.
I do love my feel-good movie, right. So in that way...
You're not going to get that from The Joker.
You're not going to get... If you want to feel happy and all lovey-dovey, don't go to The Joker.
I've never seen a Joker movie where he falls in love with Jennifer Aniston over a dog or something like that. It's not a feel-good theme going on with The Joker.
Definitely not. There was no puppies in it. Yeah. No puppies involved.
So what happened? What was
it? Well... VMAX is probably about 100 seats. It's an incredible cinema. So you get your ticket. We got our spot at the back to the side.
Right.
So I was like, we can have the row to ourselves at least because no one sits on the side. Everyone goes in the middle.
Then you can spread out and be comfortable.
Absolutely. We've both got really long legs. We just need that space. So came in. There's probably three other couples. I was like, fantastic. One down the front, down the middle, one over the other side. I was like, we're here to the side by ourselves. Fantastic. Love the previews, watching them. Almost time for the movie to start. There's a couple that's walking up.
Right.
And walking closer and closer to us. And then you can see them look at you, look at the ticket, look at you again, look down.
Idiots. They could have sat anywhere.
Excuse me. Got their popcorn. Sat directly next to us. And meanwhile, I've got my legs all stretched out. I've got my handbag to the side.
Well, there's a whole cinema.
Whole cinema. They could have sat anywhere and they are right next to Nick and I. And then what do you do?
Well, honestly, A, I'd want to punch him in the head. B, I think I'd get up and move.
Yeah.
But then you look so rude if you do that.
So I timed it.
What did you do?
I timed 5 minutes.
Yep.
And then we got up and we moved.
Did you really?
Yeah. I put the head down. I was like, oh my God. And and literally I counted Nick and it was like, 3, 2, 1, go.
You just got up and moved.
Because as soon as I go, he has to come with me. So we went and we never look back.
No.
Never look back.
Never get eye contact with him ever again.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast.
Now, you are on a week's hiatus from training at the moment. You did the Coolangatta Gold on Sunday. Congratulations, by the way. You did bloody well.
Thank you so much.
You did really well. I know you didn't win, so you'll probably be a little bit disappointed, but what you did was unbelievable still.
On the day, that's the best I could do. The girls are amazing, so I'm just paying for it now, that's all.
Yeah, a bit sore now.
Yeah, just a little bit.
But you're trying to be kind to yourself because this week you've taken, you're not being as disciplined eating-wise, so you can have a holiday
treat.
The regime. So what's your treat?
Well, I absolutely love pizza.
Right.
I hadn't had it in a little while, so I kind of dedicated this week to finding the best pizza on the Gold Coast.
So what have you been doing? Like, how have you done that?
Well, last night I started, so I went to Miss Moneypenny's, actually, just opened up.
Yeah, it's not bad, huh?
It's not bad, and I like Gemellini, I like Justin Lane, and I'm just, there's so much good pizza here on the coast, I guess every Saturday night I want to go to my favourite pizza place. I'm going here.
Right.
So I want some kind of direction for the best pizza on the coast.
Well,
so
you want to find the very best one. Before we've done a poll this afternoon on Facebook. We've helped you out, Courtney. We've asked our listeners for where the best pizza on the Gold Coast, and we've got the results for you in just a moment. But can I ask you, do you usually not eat carbs or something, do you? Or like, how come you don't usually eat pizza?
I think just leading in for the Gold, I wasn't eating takeaway.
Right.
So I was just making pizza myself or eating a lot of vegetables, red meat.
Right.
Yeah. So
pretty strict though? Because you've got an amazing body. Like, are you really strict? Or is it just that you exercise so much that you can have that?
I do try to be good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I try to get the good nutrients in, but I tell you what, I love pizza and ice cream. So this week.
Do you love ice cream too, do you?
I do. Yeah. Okay. You never get full.
Hey, you might be one of those people when you give up being an athlete that you balloon up a little bit.
Don't.
She might be, huh?
Like you're so lucky you're on the other side of the studio now.
I'm just saying, like, you might be. You don't know.
You see my eyes?
Okay, all right, drum roll. We've got producer Jeremy. He's got all of everyone's votes in. And how do you want to work this, mate? Do you want to give us...
I'll give you a 3-2-1.
Okay, so in third place, drum roll, in third place for the third best pizza on the Gold Coast. Here we go.
Third place is Earth and Sea down at Coolangatta.
Oh, yeah, they're good. Done,
yes.
Big on toppings down there.
Yeah, absolutely. They I've are. Done those. Yep,
mate,
yep.
That's almost a knife and fork job down there. You know, they are. They really pile them on. The Italians would hate them because Italians put barely any toppings on, but Earth and Sea have gone, what would the Italians know?
I wasn't going to agree with anything else you're going to say after you made that comment, I do have to say, yes, that's true.
I feel like you've taken it the wrong way. I'm just saying I've seen plenty of swimmers where because they eat the same amount, but they don't train as much. Like, but that's all like
balance it. Okay.
Balancing it out. That's all I'm saying.
You're not digging yourself out.
No. Okay. I'm still in the hole, apparently. Second place.
Marie's Pizza.
Oh, yeah, that's a bit like Earth and Sea too.
In Broadbeach, isn't it?
It was just a global Marie's Pizza, so it was like probably all the stores on the Gold Coast.
Yeah, there's one down Southport as well. Nice. Okay. Geez, number one pizza on the Gold Coast.
We had plenty.
How exciting.
Plenty of nominations as well, though.
Go on, mate.
Number one is Merlin's Pizza, Christine Corner down at Varsity Lakes.
Never had it. Don't know about it at all.
Really? I have had it, but I'm surprised.
Really?
We inundated with
Merlins. I thought it was going to be Gemellini.
Yeah? You don't rate the Merlins one as much as what they're saying? You reckon someone from Merlin's been
surprised.
Sitting on someone from Merlin's been sitting on the computer all
the staff
today?
Have got on and nominated themselves.
Hey, you got to believe what the Gold Coast has to say, and well done to Merlin's. There you go, Courtney. We've done your homework
for you.
Thank you,
everyone.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast.
Before we get out of here, we've got to count down the top five songs in the country. Let's do this.
It's time for top five.
Now, Courtney, the way this works is that Brixie is going to play for us the top five songs, and we get to vote whether or not we like them or not.
Okay.
So if we do like them, we give them one of these, and if we don't, then we buzz them out like this.
And what if we don't agree?
Man, that's cool. No, okay. you get you a vote, I get a vote.
Oh, right? So everyone, okay.
And be brutally honest.
Okay.
Okay, what do we got there, Brixie?
All right, well, number five, this is a new entry. I have not heard this yet. This is Ride It by Regard.
When he's saying ride it, Courtney, what do you think he means?
That definitely opens up the discussion, doesn't it?
I like it.
What do you think?
I don't know. That's why I asked you.
Yeah, I like it too. Whatever it means, I like it.
I like that. That's a fan. All right, number four, it's On Its Way Out.
Yes. Yes.
You like this one?
Love this song.
God, this has been around for ages.
Hasn't it?
Yeah, I like it, mate.
It's loading on.
Still like it.
It's a toe tapper.
I love the dance to it. So
can
good.
You do it? Have you done it?
I've been practicing.
Yeah.
Luke's a good
drunk. Yeah. No one's ever attempted it sober. Not yet. Let's get masculine. Let's dance.
Alrighty, number three. It's a drop down from number two, but it's hanging in there. It's the new one from Dan and Shay and Justin Bieber.
Hey, Courtney, are you like me? Like, I never really got into love songs until I fell in love. And then I hear love songs differently now because I am in love.
Yeah, that is so true. When you hear them before, you're like, whatever. Yeah, but now you're like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
And you're planning a CD, aren't you?
And so, like, usually I'd hate this song. Yeah. I'd go, this song's poncy. What a fairy song. But now I listen to it and go, oh, that's lovely. I like it. I like it.
All right. Okay, I don't like it, but I am in love. Okay. That was bad to come off that. I am in love, but I don't know. Courtney, I wasn't feeling it.
Got the bars. There you go. Yeah. Right, number two, Memories from Maroon 5.
Cheers to the ones that we got. Cheers to the wish you were here, but you're not. Because the dreams bring back all the memories of everything we've been through. Toast to the ones here today.
Toast to the ones that we lost on the way, cause the drinks bring back all the memories, and the memories bring back.
Yeah, I like it. I like it.
I'm with you.
Yeah, you both like it.
It's a good one, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a nice song.
Lock it in.
All right. Number one, can you have a guess, Ed? Oh, what number one is going to be?
Yes, I've got a guess.
What do you think?
You go first.
No, I don't know. I've got no idea.
I was going to say, is it Tones and I, Dance Monkey?
Yes.
Yes!
Courtney coming through with the goods.
What do I win?
Hancock from the Raptors.
Courtney, you win this.
Good song, this one too. I like it.
I never win raffles or anything like that. I'm so, I feel like I won like the meat tray or something.
Mate, I would have loved to have seen you win the Cool and Get a Gold. If you're that excited at winning our dumb top five competition. Hey, there you have it. The top five done and dusted. Courtney Hancock, I want to say thank you. You are a champion of the Gold Coast. It's an absolute honour to have you on our radio show. And look, we're on the hunt for a replacement for Margot. You've done a really great job this afternoon. And I could think of nothing better than sitting here with you every afternoon in the future. But who knows what's happening? The powers that be, they're going to decide who gets this gig. But I'd love it to be you.
Oh, thank you so much.
I've really enjoyed our time together. And thanks for coming in the Savo. We appreciate it.
Awesome. I've had a great time. It's been unreal. Thank
Good on you.
You,
Courtney. And we'll be back tomorrow afternoon. From 3 for your local drive home. Hop you then. Bye.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast.